What do you do when things just go sideways? They're not going forward ways anymore. Remember, the train was on the track. Now it's off the track. The airplane is, I don't know, smashing into the mountain where we fell out of the boat. Whatever the metaphor is, things are not going well. And every impulse that we have is a reckless one. It's just, I can't inhibit. What do we do then? You want to talk about that? Let's talk about that. You are listening to ADHD Big Brother, the podcast for adults struggling with their ADHD and comorbid depression symptoms. Yeah. I'm your host, Russ Jones, author of Descending to the Top, believer that you can actually have a smile in your life despite this diagnosis. So let's make some sense out of this struggle. Let's learn some stuff. Let's laugh at some stuff. Ladies and gentlemen, here's some stuff. Hey, what's up? Welcome to the podcast. Hey, what's up? What's up, suckers? How you doing? You doing pretty good? I'm doing pretty good. Welcome to the podcast. Glad you guys are here. Pull up a chair. Yeah, make room for everybody. Okay, great. Today's it's like a ramble. I already know it's a ramble. It's the way I wrote this out. It's a ramble. I'm gonna give you guys a mental health update for me. Like, let's talk about our mental health journeys, shall we? And I'll go first, okay? Because I have someone who just gave me the microphone and I'm here. So let me go first. Quite a bit has happened to me over the past couple of weeks, even shorter than that, like 10 days or so. But I had to make cuts in some of the things that I was doing with my time. And that sunk me mentally and emotionally, big time. And my decision ultimately, which I'll get to the process there, but was to pull out of college for now. And because this is so ripe, I think it might be helpful to talk about, person with ADHD and depression, how do we manage these painful decisions without impulsively reacting, making sound decisions? You know, I'm always in danger of acting impulsively or I'm going to do something that I can't recover from or that's going to make things monumentally worse. In this case, I had impulses to storm out of my job, just fucking quit. I had impulses to just go out and get drunk or start smoking cigarettes again. It's like, oh man, bad news stuff, not good stuff. And I spent a couple of mental health days just depressed, lying in bed with my brain, just trying to solve life, but not able to move. And I think the positive side was that at no point was I in like, we'll give up mode. You know what I mean? It was just me lying in bed, trying to connect dots, trying to create my specific action. And for those of you guys that are experienced in this art form known as depression, it can take like an hour or two, if you're lucky, to get moving on a simple task. And in my head, I was like, I don't have fucking time for this shit. I'm way too busy. And I think it's important to talk about here, mainly because it makes me feel uncomfortable. So I'm like, okay, that's probably means something. But to see how debilitating feeling depressed can be and how even knowing the answers can still require more effort than I have inside of myself. Even though like we know things, like we know, oh yeah, go for a walk. It'll boost your mood. Raise your heart rate up 100 to 120 beats per minute for 30 minutes. That's going to boost your mood. Spend time with people that you love. That's going to boost your mood. We know these things. But the effort required to make these things happen can oftentimes be this mountainous obstacle. It's a struggle. So I think it's a good conversation to have. You know what I'm saying? So here you go. In just a little over a week, the shit just completely hit the fan for me. Financially, personally, mentally, emotionally. Just a whole lovely shit cake served right up with extra frosting. It was just a little too much. And the reason I mention this is that my internal reaction system goes from zero to like dramatic insanity when things go sideways on me. Perspective is really hard in those cases. And so what I've learned to do is I reach out to my close support system for suggestions. And I used to think that that made me weak. Like, I got to figure out this stuff on my own. I'm an adult. But I give zero shits about that. Of the shits that I give, zero would be the number of them that I would give for that. So I reach out to key people in my life that I will use for perspective when I don't have it. And I will give them this. You know what? Some of them are neurotypicals. Yeah, they're neurotypasticals. They're normies. I don't reach out to them specifically because they are normies. I have some skull spaghetti people in my camp as well. But man, normies can be great. If they're non-judgmental and accepting, whoa, dude, logical and practical, big time. My parents, they are practical, logical people. My ex-wife, she is practical and logical, super support system there. And I have a few friends who are great sounding boards. So rather than make a bunch of impulsive reactionary decisions, I've learned to adopt a way of, keep in mind, I'm 48. It took a long motherfucking time to get here. But I will reach out individually with these people. I'll have conversations. I'll go out to dinner. I'll share what I'm thinking about doing, like what I feel like doing. And then I'll gauge their reactions. And I'll ask advice on, well, what would you do in this circumstance? You know, it's not like this formal meeting where I'm like, I'm going to present to you with things and I'm going to get answers from you. It's just this casual, hey, man, I don't want to isolate. I need to talk to somebody, and word vomit. And then I'll inquire, what would you do? Let's pretend for a moment this was you. What would you do? It's sort of like a brainstorming meeting that I have in a series of, you know, one-on-ones with people. And that's the best that I can do for inhibiting my impulses. And I am going to pat myself on the back because that is a huge deal. This all could have gone upside down in the course of 7 days. My plan that I executed was I was going to have conversations with my close support people, and then I'm going to take everyone's ideas and see. I'm going to see, are they the same? Maybe there's something there. Maybe I can filter it through how I feel, and then I can make the best decision based on all this data that I can think of, the best decision for me. And so my action plan moving forward has been to withdraw from college. That still sucks when I say it, but that decision sunk me. I was pretty much getting straight A's, man, and maybe a B or two, but mostly A's. I was cruising. So I took a couple of mental health days from work to get it all figured out. And a lot of that time was spent feeling lost, feeling hopeless, ruminating, just some fucked up ruminating on things. And so I also decided to reach out to my psychiatrist and lay it all out for him. And I have a great relationship with my psychiatrist, even though we rarely talk. You know, I'm don't want to be on medicine. So I'll just tell him like it is. And I haven't been on any ADHD or depression medicine for a while now. It ain't easy. So I reached out and I was like, man, is there anything I can take on a case-by-case basis so that I don't have to be like on quote-unquote depression medicine? Like if I'm struggling one day, I could take a pill and then I'm good for the day. Oh, God, how rad would that be? And he's like, dude, no, that's not really how antidepressants work. Sorry. So like, well, it's worth a shot. So, you know, here I am. I'm on a new medicine, and I kind of feel weird about sharing the actual medicine, the name of it. So I'm not gonna, but that sounds snotty there. I'm not gonna. Okay. I'm not going to tell you what it is. No. If you want to email me, I'll be happy to share. And then I'm going to post in the video that goes along with the episodes in the ADHD Big Brother forum in the community. I'll go into it a little bit more detail. You guys already know that I'm on the medicine, but the, I don't know. I just feel weird. It's like a podcast is sort of like it's forever. So what if in 2 weeks the medicine is like, oh, it's a disaster. Don't ever do it. I feel weird about it. All right. So back off. But if you guys, do want to reach out, I'm happy to talk about it. ADHDbigbrother.com, and you just go to the contact form. Okay.
Okay. That's great. Okay.
But I am comfortable sharing that the main reason is that the ruminating thoughts, they were becoming too debilitating, and I got shit to do, man. I cannot be lying in bed spending 2 hours working up the protocol for getting out of bed. You know, I got moves I got to make. I got shit I got to get going. So this, like the thought records and the journaling and the acceptance and commitment therapy exercises and the listening to guided meditations and the going on walks, the healthy distractions, like they're just not cutting it. And I'm like hitting this thing at every possible angle. So I was like, I think I'm ready for the medical assist here. And that has been my week. A lot can happen in 7 days. Holy balls. The aspect of this that I thought was would be good to talk about is how important it is to have some kind of a support system in place. This shit can be so isolating. It can be so hard, especially if our loved ones don't really get it, you know? And I will add this, like when I talk to the normies of my life, there's a lot of grace that I give, and I do the filtering on my end. This might be a little bit controversial. I'm not sure. But how hard do we bang our head against the wall trying to convince people that like we're not lazy, We're trying to explain our brains to people, and like the eye roll that we can feel is happening, or the sentiment of like, you just think I'm being lazy. There's this mountainous obstacle of trying to convince someone that a thing that everybody experiences, like lack of motivation, everybody gets that. Or, you know, doing something that we're disinterested in is hard. Well, that's hard for everybody. Everybody doesn't want to do things that suck. Everything that normies experience is also a symptom of ADHD, right? And it's the debilitating level that is the difference. I've tried to explain this, but the best that I've ever come up with so far, and if you guys have a better way of explaining this, please let me know. But it's like sort of talking about losing our keys. Like, we all lose our keys. Normies lose keys. We lose keys. It sucks to lose our keys. And it's a cliche, you know, and it's frustrating. Like, oh, bummer. But it's not the biggest deal in the world. But someone with ADHD, like, imagine it's the 10th time this month that I've lost my keys. And I even created a hook for them. And the level to which I'm going to call myself a stupid piece of shit is way more dramatic than it warrants because of the number of times that I've lost my keys. Like, this again? God damn it. But then this is going to make me late for work. And my boss said if I'm late one more time, then I'm fired. And if I'm fired from this job, then my wife is going to leave me, because if I lose one more job that I'm highly qualified for, that I'm excellent at, yet I couldn't get to work on time and I lost it for that reason, it's over. They're both actually just losing keys to the outside eye. But one comes with enormous levels of panic and self-loathing. And so for the normie advice, which is, oh, you lose your keys. Okay, so create a system, get a hook, create a dish on your counter, you know, attach it to your belt loop, staple it to your face. I don't know, make 500 spare keys, leave them all around the house so you feel like a big idiot. But I think it's because, like, if I've tried so many times to educate, I mean, like, here, check this out. The very fact, like, I've been doing a podcast about this shit for like years now. And I help people. People pay me money. I have a client roster of people that pay me money to help them with this stuff. And I have a community, a paid community, where people are actively working on this shit. And I still have people in my life that don't get it. And I try to remember that everybody has their own shit that they're trying to make heads or tails of. So getting educated on my brain might not be a top priority. You know, maybe if I was married, yeah, come on, your partner should show up. Or if it's a kid, yeah, show up for your kid. But I give my friends a lot of grace. I can do my part to filter out some of the inadvertent judgment that I feel, if that makes sense, like how I perceive to be judged. And that's on me. And these are people that I love. These are people in my close support system. And yeah, okay, so some of them don't fully understand. So their advice is sometimes isn't going to be relevant to me, or it might feel insensitive, you know, suck it up advice from well-meaning people. But rather than me engaging in, okay, now this is going to be all about how suck it up is doesn't work for me, I filter it. I'm looking for practical, logical solutions. So I'll try to seek what's on the other end of sucking it up. What's the move? What's the action? I got plenty of tools I could move forward on, but my perspective is shot and my impulsivity and my reactions are hot. So this is my attempt to inhibit that impulsive reaction. And this is also why I don't have just one person in my support system. Like, if you guys are like me and how you feel distressed or how you get depressed, it's that feeling is 100% the truth. That awful hopelessness feeling is as true as it gets. I'm a hopeless piece of shit, and that's a fact. And I dare you to challenge that. That's just how it feels. And so if one person tells me that, I can easily combat that. It's like, nope, well, you're wrong. You're wrong, and I know me, and this is the truth. But if I get four people, and they all tell me the same thing in a different way, or then I start to go, okay, maybe my brain has been being a big turd, you know? Interesting. Maybe I got some perspective shifting to do here. So that's been my past 7 days. This was a whole update, but I could truly empathize. I almost said emphasize. I'm going to emphasize this. This is really important. I want to emphasize how I can empathize with you. With the impulsive among us. Like, I'm not a superstar at inhibiting behavior, and inhibiting behavior can be so goddamn hard. So my big recommendation that I'm adhering to myself is if you don't already have your core four, like four perspective people, that might be helpful. If you have no one, and I feel for you there, it's Some of us don't have support people. My email inbox, that's wide open for you. You can reach out anytime. And if you want to be part of the ADHD Big Brother community, yeah, it's paid. But man, the level of support you'll get is truly inspiring. So that's another option. And then, you know, if you've got normies in your life that really want the best for you, maybe consider filtering out some of their ridiculousness and see if you can cut through the suck it ups to get to the meat. One thing that I would be super interested in is, how do you inhibit your behavior when your world's turning upside down? Do you have something that you do? Please, pretty please, please, I'm begging you, please go to the ADHD Big Brother website and click on the contact. Just share and share it with me. Don't hang on to your magical elixir. It's not right. Share it. I'm always looking for tools for my toolbox. All right, guys, that's going to do it for me this week. You know, challenge-wise, I don't know that there's a challenge. It's kind of me asking you to shoot me some information. Like, what's your support system? Do you have a support system? Do you have your core four? How do you inhibit your behavior when things are crazy? The rug gets pulled out from under you. What do you do to stop and inhibit yourself? Because that is a very difficult thing to do with our type of skull spaghetti. If you've got a method, yeah, let me know. I'd be interested. And with that, I hope you guys have a fantastic week, and I will talk to you later.